Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
We have the big question topic of the day. And it has to do with something of the past with your sport that you know is not coming back. Let me explain here.
I don't think it has to be your sport, just in sports.
Something that you miss.
Yeah.
Football has changed a lot. If you think back a decade, two decades, three decades even. Triple stack, fullback, I formation, power run. The game has changed a lot for the better in many ways. But there has to be something that's gone forever in the sport that you know likely will not return and that you miss from eras gone by. 615-737-1045, our number. I'm sticking with football in my line of thinking. You can take it anywhere you'd like to go in yours. But I think football, more than any other sport, has transitioned towards a different level or a different line moving forward for both safety purposes and entertainment purposes. Would you agree, Paul?
Yes.
For me, you know, there are many things I miss, but I enjoy the full contact aspect of any level of football. I understand it's for safety purposes, but it's also for protection of your investment. But I miss the days of being able to punish a quarterback from the defensive perspective. That's gone forever. For both the concussion reasons, the blindside hits, different things, but also because the NFL wants to protect its investment, the highest paid players on the field. Those are the QBs. They're now beginning to rise above each other with each contract. Marcus Mariota will eventually be the highest paid player in the National Football League. And if he does that before Jameis Winston, Winston will then become the highest paid player in the league. And if he does it after, he'll surpass Jameis Winston on that chart. But I miss the days, even if it's my quarterback of the team I'm rooting for, there's less pressure on him taking a hit and in the back of his mind knowing that the pressure is coming than there was at any point in the past. And I miss that aspect of the game. The defenders have to be much more cautious now because of the way the rules are set up in the backfield, in the pocket.
Yeah. Mine is baseball.
You don't agree?
Well, I miss it, but I've accepted that it was an unhealthy thing on multiple levels for me to like in the first place.
Well, see, I like it because back in the day, it wasn't that long ago.
I thought you were going back in the day, like back Gladiators. Yeah.
But, you know.
So you miss Jacked Up.
Of course I miss Jacked Up. I miss teeing off on a quarterback. A guy misses an assignment and the quarterback pays the price for it. I miss that aspect. Instead, a guy misses an assignment and the defender has to figure out a way to hit that guy legally, and there's a very small target window for him to do that. I hate that.
Yeah, I get it. It has changed things. I'm still, I'll say this, I'm not dissatisfied with what it is now, and the league has changed also in a way where if the guy suffers the consequences of that missed block and takes that hit, I'm then watching Brandon Whedon play, and I can't deal with that.
Or Matt Cassel. Yeah, no, I get it.
Right.
I get it, but it goes both ways. You know, if you're the fan for your team, you don't want to see your quarterback. You don't want to see your backup play in most cases.
I don't want to see any.
Unless you're a Dolphins fan, you're chatting for Matt Moore.
Starting every game if he's any good.
But on the opposite sideline, I'm rooting for my defense to take that guy out.
Yeah.
You're going baseball, though.
I'm going baseball. It's just the first thing that came to mind. And it takes me back to a better time, which I think a lot of people are going to say. I think you're kind of saying that. You know, that's the football of your youth.
Yes.
This is the baseball of my youth. I want a meaningful All-Star game, and I don't mean meaningful home field advantage in the World Series. That was nonsense. That was trying to make up for what was missing. I want, and I'm not anti-interleague play, but interleague play, one of the unintended consequences is that the All-Star game is nothing special. There's nothing special about seeing the National League's best pitcher throw against the American League's best hitter, because that's the only time you'll see it, unless on the long chance that those two teams end up in the World Series against each other. And when I was a kid, and I think you feel the same way, though your childhood, it was on the verge of over.
Yeah.
I mean, Dave Parker singled to right field or Greg Nettles singled to right field to Dave Parker, who threw, I don't remember who, out at home. And it was a monumental play. Is Dave Parker making this throw? I mean, the All-Star game was so, I got excited for days. It was a thrill. You wanted your guy in there so badly. That's why I hated George Brett, who's a phenomenal baseball player who I've come to love and respect. But I hated George Brett because he was in front of my guy in the All-Star game. And I wanted Greg Nettles out there so badly. It was the most important thing in the world to me. And I followed those All-Star game voting totals or whatever they gave you. And it wasn't this big sponsorship fest. And it meant something to those guys for the AL to go back to the second half of the season and say, and the National League won for a billion years in a row when I was a kid. And it pissed me off every time.
Well, those days are gone. Let me add in some thoughts on that. I think part of the reason that it sounds like the SEC slogan here, but back in the day, it just meant more in the All-Star game. Interleague play is a factor in it, but also, and maybe it's because I'm so far removed from certain eras of Major League Baseball, but weren't there more personal rivalries then? Like, guys now are hanging out on the, if you're the home team, you're hanging out on the first base dugout side to slap hands with the competition 30 minutes before first pitch.
And you share an agent.
Aren't they too friendly now? I mean, being friends is fine, but when it comes time to play as a fan, I don't want my guy hanging out with the opponent right before the game. Or, you know,
Pete Rose was smashing into Ray Fosse, yes, and it meant something. And there were lasting consequences and feelings and emotion about it. Now, is there any emotion in that game? I mean, I guess there is. It's exciting for the young guys the first time and all of that, but it's nothing like what it was.
615-737-1045, our number. Reed?
By the way, the 2003 All-Star game is still tied, in case you were trying to keep up with that at home.
Well, my era, Paul brought up my era. Chad and I agree. Our childhood was the ratings bonanza for the home run derby.
Mm-hmm.
The steroid era was the home run derby, and you paid more attention to that than you did what was going to happen the next night in the All-Star game.
Mine goes along with both yours and Paul's. Mine is college baseball. I miss the days of college baseball where they used a hot bat, and there were 15 to 16 runs being scored per team per game.
Bombs away.
I miss that, and I miss the fact that college baseball was a different brand of baseball than what I was seeing in major leagues. If I want to see something more similar to the major leagues, why wouldn't I just watch the major leagues, because they're the best at what they do? Why not continue to have college baseball be a different brand? Less than 10% of those guys are going to go on to play major league baseball at all. So what does it matter if you're trying to use a bat that's more like a wooden bat to prepare less than 10% of these guys to move on to play at the next level?
Is it more like a wooden bat, or
does 90% live it up?
Does it just sound like a wooden bat?
No, well, it's more like a wooden bat. It's the coefficient of restitution is lower on these bats than there were the bats in the past, which makes it like a wooden bat. There's only so much more speed that the ball can gain off of this bat. Where in the past, back in the days of Gorilla Ball with LSU back in the early and mid-90s, those bats they were using, the coefficient of restoration was so high on those things. I mean, you were probably coming close to almost doubling the speed off the bat than you are nowadays. And I miss that. It was entertaining to me. I could watch a college baseball game and be entertained. It didn't matter if the game went 4 hours, because it was an entertaining 4 hours.
We have some great examples of outside-the-box thinking for answers when it comes to football, baseball, even basketball right now on Twitter. Jacob Underwood, great friend of the show. He says, I miss 350-plus carry running backs, and I say that as someone who hated Eddie George and Chris Johnson being overused, knowing it shortened their career. You know, think back to the covers of, you know, the Beckett magazines, where you've got the cover of Eddie George with his white Titans pants bloodied, running over a Steelers defender. That's gone. That era is gone. When's the last time you've seen that image in the NFL?
Yeah, a worn down running back is, it's pretty rare. Pretty rare. Here's a good one from Eric Miller on Twitter. The innocence of watching baseball in the late 80s, early 90s, ripping open cheap baseball cards, hoping to find your guy emulating his swing in the backyard with your buddy.
Oh.
Anybody doing that? Look, my kid's all about his swing right now. By the way, David Reed offering great counsel. I sent you guys a video of him, and we were analyzing his swing.
I saw that. I did not want to weigh in because I am not the guy to ask on that.
Chad had a good point, but David really knows a baseball swing and has helped me. Help Simon, but this idea of imitating your guys, Nettles, Greg Nettles, absolutely my guy.
That was
it
your
wasn't
favorite
so much
swing?
About his swing, though.
Who was
it
your
was
favorite? Who had glove. Your favorite swing?
I was a glove guy. I was a defense guy.
See, but
I wanted to dive and make catches.
Every kid though had a favorite. Griffey was the era for us,
for my age.
It was everyone wanted to have the stance like Griffey, wear the Nikes with the 24 written on them. Everyone wanted 24 on their baseball jersey. It was Griffey.
I was a Canseco guy. To this day, you can probably look at my stance and see Canseco. But as far as the swing, Ken Griffey Jr., that thing.
And your bodybuilding. You were also Canseco.
We shared the same dealer. Ken Griffey Jr., that thing's a work of art.
Like, yes.
His swing belongs in a museum.
It was the brief pause after contact, too, on the backswing that was so just
great.
Perfect. 615-737-1045. But see, that's something that can return to the game. The great swings that everyone imitates.
Toasty Brew misses home plate collisions and wild pitches on intentional walks. I didn't see many of those wild pitches on intentional walks. Home plate collisions. You know, one guy breaks his leg and they react the way they did.
To the wild pitch comment, going back to football for me, think about this. There are no bad punters in the NFL anymore. Or, for that matter, there are not many in college. There are some in college that can be bad.
And there are bad field goal kickers in college. So how has the punting got good, but the field goal kicking is still not?
No, punting, everything has improved, though.
Right. But punting is, like you're saying.
Punting is so precise now, down to the yard mark. Like, it's like Tiger trying to fit a wedge onto a green or an approach shot onto the green within a 10-foot radius of the flag and being able to pinpoint exactly where that ball is going to drop.
Yeah,
Brett Kern can do the exact same thing. Every punter in the league now can do that. That's an element of the game that's never coming back, is the element of, okay, I wonder if this punter is going to feel any pressure on this kick. Because unless a defender comes through and makes contact with him or gets a hand on the football, that punt is going a mile.
Right. A bad punt now is still a 35, 40-yard field position flip. Where back in the day that you're talking about, if a guy shanked one out of bounds, that could really flip a game.
Yes.
And it happened periodically.
Yeah, it happened every now and then. And now there's no expectation for it going on.
Yeah, it doesn't happen.
Eric is
next. That's a great one.
Eric, thanks for calling.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Eric in Richmond. And I kind of like Daryl Strawberry's twirling on the bat to get back to
there
that
go.
Momentarily.
There you go.
But my favorite was the Run the Street offense. That kind of brought me to becoming an Oilers fan and then eventually becoming a Titans fan. And
you're a big Chris Palmer guy then, huh? That's what he tried to bring that back here.
Yeah, and I think Miles Davis was the only two teams that ran it back then were the Oilers and the Lions. And me and my friends would go in the backyard, and I'd be Warren Moon and take my little half moon rollout with Drew Hill, Jeffries. That was good times. That was definitely good times back in the day.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Eric. Go next with rapid fire here. Eddie is next up. Eddie, welcome.
Hello, guys. How y'all?
We are great, man. What's up?
Well, I miss NASCAR racing the way it used to be. it's changed so much, and they can't figure out why the people not watching it on TV are not in the stands. Just look back the way it was when Bill France Jr. was running the show before that Brian France took over. And I know there's still a lot of good drivers out there, but the way they used to let them race and the way things were was a whole lot better than they are now.
Thank you so much
for
the call.
That strikes me. I hadn't thought of this. I make fun of NASCAR a lot for dying the way it's, in my perception, dying.
Mm-hmm.
That it made this big push. It rose up. It seemed like it was going to become a national thing. And then it just kind of hit the ceiling and started to sink. And I don't think that we've talked about it enough as an example for the NFL, where, you know, NFL got too big for its own good in a lot of ways. Mark Cuban predicted trouble, and all of this stuff has started to happen that's chipped away. Ratings are still high, but they're down. They're in political controversy and all of this stuff. And I wonder if there isn't something to be learned or seen from what NASCAR did in terms of fast growth and all of that. David Reed's our racing guy.
And Reed, this is a big topic we have for later this week, specifically with NASCAR, that I know you're really behind and pushing for us to discuss, because
I love this topic.
They're trying to save the sport.
And I don't, and at this point, I don't even know what it's going to take to turn things around, but it's too easy to look at the death of Dale Earnhardt as the turning point in when the decline of NASCAR started, but it's kind of appropriate in a lot of ways, because his death prompted in a lot of changes in the sport that were needed from a safety standpoint, but also changed the way and the philosophy of a lot of the drivers as well. But yeah, the growth was so fast, so furious. I look back on it and I think it was wrong in so many ways. Not only it wasn't needed to make the sport what it needed to be or what they wanted it to be, but it also was the wrong growth in the wrong areas of the country. They pretty much turned their back.
It's hard to resist.
Well, when you look at a market like
Nashville.
You look at a market like Joliet, Illinois, and you think, wow, we're going to go up there. We have all this momentum. Yeah. It's a great sport. We're going to go up there, build a track, and we're going to get that Chicago market. No. They don't really care about NASCAR racing in Illinois,
well,
in the Chicago area.
I think our topic is exactly that later this week. It gets down to the point of a market like Music City and Nashville should have a race on the NASCAR circuit. And the fact that they don't, to me, is an illustration of why they're where they are right
and
now.
And also, we're going to talk about kids and cars, because kids and cars isn't what kids and cars has been in our lifetime. And that's got to have some trickle-up effect that's not happening for NASCAR. The funny thing, or the interesting thing here to me that you said, David, is also parallels the NFL. NASCAR made itself safer. The NFL is making itself safer. And safer, in a lot of ways, is equaling less good.
Mm.
We're saying the football's not as good. We're saying the racing's not as good. Is it safer? Yes. Are people less likely to die? Yes. Is that a great thing? Yes. Is it as good as we remember it and want it to be? No, it's a consequence. We should be willing to make that trade, but in a lot of ways, hell, you go back to the beginning and people looking to be entertained. I don't think they're looking for somebody to die or get seriously hurt.
But that element
of danger. The danger is part of what
you're
watching.
That's a huge element of the sport itself, is the danger. And it's still there. But like Reed is saying, it's not propped up as much. You know, it's not like...
It's not what they're selling.
That's right. A
couple of people said wide world of sports. I think wide world of sports could still work.
It can.
Because it's taking you to different stuff. Now, that different stuff may be on ESPN2 in the middle of the night periodically.
That's the issue. You can find those different things now on a channel somewhere.
When I was on vacation in Florida, we watched the National Pickleball Championship. Pickleball is fun. Most people don't know what it is. That's a wide world of sports kind of thing to me. Somebody else said This Week in Baseball with Mel Allen. Like, I think I missed the time when that was a thing, but we don't have This Week in Baseball anymore. We have This Minute in Baseball via Twitter and Facebook and whatever else. So that weekly highlight show that, do I miss that? Because it was, This Week in Baseball, I can picture the couch I sat on watching that and listening to Mel Allen.
We had a guy who tweeted us that said he hasn't tweeted in months, and tweeting in for this topic. This is from Ben, who says, this is the first time I've tweeted in over 6 months. I miss Slam Ball. It was outrageous in the 2000s.
Slam Ball, was that the trampoline dunking?
That's what I envision. Am I wrong on that, Reed?
No, I think that's what it was, yeah. But my first inclination was, what was the game in American Gladiators where they had to take the ball and put it in the...
Yeah.
I thought that was called Slam Ball, too. But I do remember the thing with the trampolines. I miss, on the line of This Week in Baseball, the Baseball Bunch.
Yeah.
With Johnny Bench as a kid.
We're teaching you show. That yes. was great.
I love that.
I got I
was
some thinking of my about fundamentals
that.
From that.
Yeah, I was thinking about that last week when we were tweeting about Simon Swing. That it's a shame that there's not something like that nowadays on TV for young kids, but they probably wouldn't watch it anyway.
I think he might. He is all in right now. He's at a baseball camp.
Why he has to watch The Sandlot right now, Paul.
Jeremy misses the quarterback challenge from the 80s and 90s with Randall Cunningham, Warren Moon, Steve Young, Dan Marino, John Elway, Joe Montana.
I would watch that all day long.
He says, I would watch it just would be so awesome to see Rodgers, Brady, Breeze, Mariota, Cam Newton, Phillip Rivers, Matt Ryan, and just all of them compete.
I'll reduce it from that. I would watch Neil O'Donnell throw at a garbage can at practice all day long. You give me an hour of that?
Well, you would love spring football in college now.
Yeah.
That's what the spring game turned into.
I think it's fantastic. A friend of mine texts me, Texas versus Texas A&M on Thanksgiving night.
Mm. A lot of those rivalries now with all the different college or conference affiliations. Let's go to the phone. Scott, thank you for waiting. What's up, Scott?
Hey, no problem, guys. The one-bar face mask in the NFL. I remember Theismann used to wear one, him and the kickers.
Yes.
The one-bar face mask is mine.
Thank you, Scott.
I'm watching a replay right now of the Polish goalie. Go ahead and open up your Polish jokes. Poland's goalie came way out to try to stop a ball. Missed it. It
did not go well.
And the guy, it basically turned into like a hockey open net goal. The guy just basically dribbled it down and tapped it into a wide open net. It was atrocious.
And Scott's answer about the single bar face mask may be the one example that we had today of something that is not coming back. Because remember when Gary Anderson came? No, when Gary Anderson came to the Titans, he had to bring that face mask with them because they don't manufacture that anymore.
But was he grandfathered into being allowed to wear it?
Is there a rule against it?
You can order your face mask, right? Does the 808? Mariota face mask exist if you wanted it, or did he have that made for him?
I'm pretty sure that's custom made.
Yeah. I don't know, though. I can't see how a single bar face mask in today's NFL gives you any protection whatsoever. I mean,
if you really wanted to cut down on concussions, you'd go to single bar no face mask.
Oh, yeah.
That would cut down on concussion.
Yeah, no helmets. There you go. Let's go to Benny. Benny, thanks for calling.
Benjamin.
Hey, guys. How's things going?
Great.
Great.
The thing I miss is teams before free agency, because you just don't get teams that last anymore, like the Big Blue Wrecking Crew and the Big Red Machine. All that's gone because it's all the names changed so fast. I wish we had teams that would last more than a couple of years.
Yeah, and that has led to the lesser emphasis on rivalries to me in every sport.
Yeah, because you're not a lifelong guy of one team, though there are still some, but it's not the way it was, which I miss. Now, I wouldn't want to punish guys by not giving them free agency. Owners had too much control of their workers at that stage.
That era, and for any sport, there was a realness to it because fans can relate to that because fans hate that rival just as much as it was perceived the players did, right? Well, now, you know, this morning is a great example. I see a video retweeted of Butch Jones at Alabama where in this video, I don't know who was filming, but it's in this little party room. He yells out, "Roll Tide," and gives like a peace sign. Butch Jones is so fake when he does that. He looks so awkward, but he's a representative of a lot of coaches out there today, a lot of players out there today that jump on board with the next great thing, even though he was denouncing them 12 months ago.
Sure.
That's what's gone from sports now.
Look, I watched Wade Boggs ride a horse in the Yankee Stadium outfield, celebrate a Yankees World Championship that he was part of. That runs count. I spent a lot of time hating Wade Boggs. That's difficult. And Roger Clemens, I never could really get behind as a Yankee. Johnny Damon, That's a tough one. Jacoby Ellsbury. I don't like them the way I like guys who didn't previously play for Boston who are on my team. Yeah, I don't. It's weird.
The teams before free agency is definitely something that's never coming back. That's a great example.
No, though I think that the franchise tag kind of thing. Now, the franchise tag is not a favorable thing for an NFL player. But I think players could be sold on something that was more lucrative, where if you were designated the guy or one of two guys and assured of a certain level of a deal in exchange for being designated that guy, could help restore some of that. I don't know that that's any kind of priority for any of the leagues or player unions.
Amber, who's listening from Charlotte today, she tweets in and says there is less at-game appreciation at NFL games. She mentions NFL. I think you go with every sport, really.
For people in the crowd?
More people just want to watch from home, maybe because it feels too corporate nowadays.
Oh, less appreciation for being at the game. Yeah, I mean, that is absolutely true.
I think the NBA, that there are certain organizations that can build the in-game atmosphere, but they're even those organizations can get too corporate when games are truly meaningful, you know, because the rich people swallow up the tickets. They're willing to pay those big prices and offer you a price you can't refuse to the average season ticket holder who can pay for next year's tickets based on a series.
Now, here's a great one from Twitter from Lonnie. Now, this isn't in my lifetime either, but daytime World Series games. Now, can you just imagine if we had I don't even need it to be daytime, a 4 o'clock Eastern World Series game on a Sunday where lights were not a factor in the game. I mean, wouldn't it be great if we lived in a country where that would be kind of like these World Cup games are now, where countries are stopping to watch their team no matter what time of day it is, right?
Back in the day when the Olympics were broadcast 4 days after the event, those days?
4 days. 4 days.